You know, there's several spots in the Bible that if you're going to preach a Thanksgiving message, you would go. There's several psalms that, whose subject is Thanksgiving. And we're going to look at one of them tonight. But this story here that's in Luke chapter 17, I think is a wonderful place to go to remind ourselves what Thanksgiving is all about. Of course, we should use this season to say thank you to the people that God puts in our life that are a blessing to us. I tried to put something in a bulletin that I ran across a couple weeks ago that tries to remind us that, you know, it's not the turkey and the dressing and all the dishes that make Thanksgiving the holiday that it is. It's the people that you're with. And I'm so glad that Harry and Judy are going to get their whole clan together, it looks like. And I hope many of you will get to be with your families and maybe those parts of your families you don't get to see too often. Because it is the people that are that make the holiday, that remind us that we have so much to be grateful for. But it's also a time that we ought to show our thanks to God. Now, I know that we should do that throughout the year. And I know that we have the kind of church that's full of people that do that throughout the year. But we ought not to let the holiday pass without thanking God for the blessings that not only he has bestowed on us as individuals, but on our families and on our country. I put something else in the bulletin. The year 1623, where Governor Bradford issued a proclamation of Thanksgiving and called all the pilgrims together. And he said, between the hours of 9 and 12, I want you to come to, he used the word ye meeting house. And he says, I want you to offer thanks to ye God, and I want ye to listen to ye pastor. And I don't know if the preacher preached for 3 hours on Thanksgiving morning. Sounds pretty good to me, but no, just teasing. From the history, our history, we've been a people that have known that we need to thank God. And so this morning, I want to look at this story. I've preached from this passage before, and in the past, I've focused on the nine. There were 10 men healed, 10 lepers healed that day. They came, Jesus was passing through, and they came to him, and they said, Master, have mercy on us. And he said, I want you to go show yourself to the priest. And that's what a leper did when they were healed. I mean, the first thing they did after they were healed, they needed to go show themselves to the priest so the priest could pronounce them clean. Well, these men weren't healed yet. And yet Jesus said, I want you to go show yourself to the priest. And the Bible says, as they went, as they were obedient to God, they were healed. One of them, who was a Samaritan, which implies that the other nine were Jews, but one of them, which was a Samaritan, was the only one that came back and offered thanks to Christ. The other nine were healed just as much as the Samaritan was, but we find no record of them coming back and giving Jesus the glory and the praise for what he'd done in their life. And I've preached a message that I entitled, some, I know many of you heard it, where are the nine? Where are the nine? Where are people that enjoy the blessings from God and yet not one time look to heaven and thank him for his blessings? But this morning, I want to look at this one who did come back, the one who did come back and offer thanks to God. And I've entitled my message, Giving Him Thanks. And I want to mention six things that the first three, all 10 of them did. But the last three, only this one did. And if we're going to give thanks to God in the proper way, we need to do these six things. And so let me go ahead and get started. Number one, all 10 of these men recognized Jesus as God. The Bible says they lifted up their voices and they said, Jesus, Master. Leprosy was a dreaded disease. There was no cure for leprosy in Jesus' day. There was no medicine, there was no operation, there was no doctor that could help these men. And when they heard that Jesus was passing through Samaria and Galilee, these 10 men who were lepers, who had no hope from a human standpoint, came to Jesus and they said, "Jesus, Master." And what they were saying when they said Master is, "We are recognizing you as God." You see, there was a big debate in Jesus' day. Many, many people did not think that he was God. Many, many people, especially the religious group of the day, did not acknowledge that Jesus was God. And there was always a controversy wherever Jesus went because he claimed to be the Son of God. And by the way, he was the Son of God. And these 10 men, as they called out, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." What they were asking for was healing. What they were asking for is for Jesus to rid them of their leprosy. Now listen to me. They knew no other man could do that. No man that lived on the face of the earth, no doctor, no hospital, no medicine, no operation. Only God could heal leprosy. And when they came to Jesus and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us," what they were saying in that prayer was, "We recognize you as God. You are the God that created this whole world." And by the way, I still believe that God created the heavens and the earth. Every school in America and around the world can teach evolution, but it is a lie from the devil. God created the heavens and the earth, and if we're going to thank him in the right way, we need to acknowledge him as God. He is the creator. He is not only the creator, he is a sustainer. The book of Colossians tells us that he holds the world together. Did you ever stop and think what keeps us from flying off this world as it turns on its axis? I mean, I've seen little kids draw pictures and people are flying off the earth. And I said, "What are they doing?" They said, "Well, they're flying off the earth." I said, "Well, how come we don't fly off the earth?" And they say, well, and I heard one little kid, he used the word, see if I can say it the right way, "gramity." I said, "Gramity?" I thought that was how you talked. He said, no, "Gramity is that thing that holds us on the earth." And I asked him, he's a little boy, I said, "Where does gramity come from?" And he says, "It comes from God." And I said, "You're right. Because if God didn't hold us on this earth, if he didn't give us air to breathe, if he didn't hold the whole place together, it would explode." And so he is God. He not only made us, he not only holds us together, he gives us, as the Bible says, he gives us every good and perfect gift. All good things come from God. And these men were lepers. They had a terrible, incurable disease. No man could help them. And they went to the only one that they knew could help them. They went to God. And they recognized him as God. Listen to me, if you have something this morning in your life, if you have something in your life, you may be in the position that these 10 men were in. You may be in a position where you have to say, "No man can help me. There is nothing on earth that can help me with this situation, with this thing that's in my life." I will remind you this morning that God is still in business. God has not taken down his shingle and retired from the good work business. He is still in the business of blessing people. He is still in the business of answering prayers. And if you need something from God this morning, the first thing you need to do is realize that he is God. He is the creator, the sustainer, and the giver of every good gift. And if we're going to thank him properly, we need to understand that. He's God. Second thing that these 10 men did, they reverenced him. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. You see, by law, lepers couldn't get close to you. By law, they had to stand at a distance. By law, they had to hold a cloth over their upper lip. And when anybody approached, they had to cross on the other side of the street. And they had to cry out, unclean, unclean. What they had to cry out was, don't come near me. Don't. I cannot get close to you. That's the law. But I think these men stood afar off for another reason. They recognized God as God. They recognized God as the all-powerful, omnipotent, omniscient God. And they said, we are but mortal men. We are but creatures made of dust. We are but creatures made of dust. And this is a holy, righteous God. We are a sinful man. I need to stand at a distance and express my reverence and my awe for God. I want to tell you something this morning. God is not the man upstairs. He lives in heaven. But I cringe when I hear people say, well, he's the man upstairs. No, he's not the man upstairs. He is a holy, omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent God. And he deserves our awe. David says, when I consider the heavens, the sun, moon, and the stars, what is man? That thou, and the Son of Man, that thou art mindful of him. What David was saying was, when I look to the heavens and I see the sun and I see the moon and I see the stars and I see everything that God's made, and then I think that he cares for me, that he thinks about me, David says, I don't understand that. I don't understand how a holy, powerful God cares about sinful man. Isaiah said in chapter 6, verse 5, woe is me, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Isaiah said, I got to stand in the throne room. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne. And he says, woe is me. When I compare myself to God, when I see my sin in comparison to God's righteousness, when I see my weakness in comparison to God's strength, when I see my lack of wisdom compared to God's wisdom, woe is me. And if we're going to be thankful to our God in the right way, we need to stand in awe of him. Say, preacher, how can I do that? I know he loves me. I know he sent his son to die for me, and I feel so close to my God. I feel so close to my Savior. And I thank God that we can. But don't ever, ever, ever lose the wonder and the awe that a holy, righteous, omnipotent God reached down to us and saved us. Don't forget, ever forget, that he's God. And it was only by grace. It was only by grace that he reached out to us. And so they recognized him as God. They reverenced him as God. Number three, they responded to him as God. He said, I want you to go show yourself to the priest. Now, we might say, if we were in that group of 10, why? Why do you want me to go show myself to the priest? I look at my body and it's still full of leprosy. Leprosy was a disease that you ended up with sores on your body, open sores. Your digits would fall off, your fingers, your toes, your ears, parts of your face. Lepers would wrap themselves in rags to provide some comfort to the sores. But again, there was no hope of any cure. And lepers only went to the priest if they were miraculously healed. I mean, again, If you were healed of leprosy, the law was, the first place you went was to the priest so that he could declare that you were clean. And once there were some things you had to do, I won't take the time to tell you this morning, go back to the book of Leviticus and read them, but there were some things you had to do after you were declared clean, and after a certain amount of time, you could go back home. You could move back into your city, you could move back in with your family. Because if you had leprosy, you lived on the outskirts of town. You couldn't live with your family, you couldn't live. And so the law was, you went to the priest when you were cured. And so Jesus told these 10 men, go see the priest. And we might have said, well, why? I look at my hands, I'm still missing fingers. I can feel my feet, I'm still missing toes. I can look at my arms and my legs and still see there's open sores. I still have the pain that goes along with leprosy. Why should I go see the priest? And yet we read that none of these 10 men did that. We read that when Jesus told them to go, they responded to his words and went. They were obedient. They didn't know what was going to happen. They didn't know that as they turned to leave Jesus and go to the priest that they were going to be healed and needed to go to the priest. They were just obedient. They just did what God said. You know, it's very hard for a person to be thankful to God and disobedient to God at the same time. You cannot disobey God and be thankful at the same time. You just can't do it. It's hard, 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 hard. Maybe you can do it, but it's hard, 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 hard. Hard. When God tells us to do something, and again, we may not understand why. These 10 guys didn't. We may not understand why. We may say, this doesn't make any sense to me. I just don't understand. I can't fathom why God would tell me to do this. We need to be, if we're going to be the Christians that we need to be, if we're going to be the people of God that we need to be, if we're going to thank him like we need to thank him, we just need to be obedient. We just need to do what he says. Even though we may not understand it, we may not be able to explain it, we just need to be obedient. God may be getting ready to work something wonderful in our life that we don't know about, that we can't see, and all he's looking from us is that first step of obedience, that first step of faith that says, okay, God, I don't understand why you want me to do what you want me to do. I'm pretty clear that you want me to do it. Even though I don't understand it, I'm just going to do it. And that may be the key that unlocks a miracle, a blessing from God, is our simple obedience to doing what he says. So these 10 men, they recognized Jesus as God. They reverenced him as God. They responded or obeyed him as God. All 10 of them did that. But there were three things that only the Samaritan did. Number one, he perceived that he was healed. He noticed that he was healed. He saw that he was healed. Verse 15, and one of them, when he saw that he was healed. If we're going to thank God the way we should, we need to notice what God does in our life. If we're going to properly offer our thanksgiving up to him, we need to take notice and we need to see and account and just look at the things that he does in our life. I had one of our men come up to me Wednesday night, and you don't know how something like this blesses my heart. He said, Pastor, you know, after your message last Sunday night, about doing all things heartily unto the Lord, not unto man. He said, I went up to my wife this week, and I told her that I loved her. And he said, as I did that, I was reminded of all the wonderful things that she has done for me over the years that we've been married. And I thought to myself, you know what? Everybody's marriage would be a lot stronger if you would notice what your spouse does for you. So many times, too many times, we take each other for granted. Too many times, our husband or our wife, our spouse, does things for us day after day after day. And if you're not careful, they just become routine. And you start taking them for granted. And you forget the wonderful blessing that God has given you in your spouse and the way he blesses you through him or her. Take time to notice. Take time, children, take time to notice what your parents do for you. And I know all the little ones are out, so let me talk to the big kids in the room. If you still have a mom and dad, they're probably still doing things for you. Don't take them for granted. Notice that. Notice what they do and thank them. And in the same way, if we're not careful, we begin to take God for granted. We begin to think, well, God owes it to me. I'm one of his children. He has to take care of me. Yeah, he made that promise, and he's God, and he will keep his promise. He'll take care of us. But let's not ever take him for granted. Let's not ever notice what he does for us. And I know, you know, it's easy to notice the big stuff, like when he helps us get through an operation, and when he helps us, you know, when we're fighting cancer and he helps us get over it, or helps us go into remission, or, you know, something big like that. But how about the things he does for us every day? The little things. The air that we breathe. The food that we eat. Say, well, preacher, I buy that food. Well, yeah, who gave you the strength to work to make the money to buy the food? And who let you live in this country where you can go to a supermarket whose shelves are stocked with anything you want to eat as opposed to a country where you can go and buy a head of cabbage? Who did that? God did it. God did it. So this Samaritan, he saw that he was healed. And the Bible says he did a second thing. He came back to Jesus and in a loud voice began to praise and to thank him. I just want you to stop and think about that for a second. In a loud voice came back and began to praise and thank God. There might have been people around that said, hey, buddy, hold it down a little bit. Don't get so excited. I mean, yeah, Jesus did something great for you, but, you know, just keep it down. Don't raise a ruckus. And I can picture it in my mind as that man says to those that might say that, oh, no, wait a minute. You don't understand. I was a leper. The ends of my fingers had fallen off. The ends of my toes, I had sores all over my body. I was in constant pain. You don't understand. I met Jesus and I asked him to have mercy on me. And he healed me from my leprosy. When I had no hope, there was no man that could help me. There was no medicine that could help me. There was no operation that could help me. I was going to continue to live in that state the rest of my life. And then I was going to die. I had no hope. And I came to Jesus and I asked him to have mercy on me. And he healed me. I can't be quiet. I have to say it in a loud voice. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. You've healed me. You've changed my life. I get to move back home now. I get to be with my family now. I get to live in my city again. I can get a job. I can provide for my family. I can't help but with a loud voice praise my God. And I was thinking again, you know, I do that every once in a while. But I was thinking again, too many times we are too reserved in our praise for God because we were just like that leopard. We were lost in our sins. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. And many times in the Bible, it uses leprosy to paint the picture of sin. And we were lost in our sins. And there was nothing that any man could do. There was nothing that any church could do. There was nothing that our families could do. We were lost in our sin. We were dying. We were headed for hell. But one day, we saw the Master. And we said the same thing that these 10 lepers says to Jesus. Jesus, Master, have mercy on me and save me. And Jesus saved us. He washed away all of our sin. And on our record in heaven, he wiped away every sin. And then he wrote his righteousness on our record. And I stand before God this morning justified. I stand before God just as if I've never sinned. I stand before God with the righteousness of Christ on my record. I have a home in heaven. The choir sang about it this morning. One day, I'm marching to Zion. One day, I'm going to stand where angels trod. One day, I am going to dwell in the house of the Lord, and I am going to live there forever. Now, why shouldn't I be excited about that? Why shouldn't I, with a loud voice, as often as I can, say, praise God, glory to God, hallelujah, amen. He saved me. He saved me. And by the way, if you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, he'll do the same for you today. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. And if you're a sinner here this morning and you're still under the penalty of that sin, if you come to Jesus Christ and pray that same prayer, Lord Jesus, Jesus, Master, have mercy on me. He will save you. He'll do the same thing for you that he did for me and scores in this room this morning. The book of Hebrews talks about how, there's a verse that says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? You see, the writer of Hebrews didn't know how to describe it. It's a great salvation, but it's greater than just a great salvation. So he used that little two-letter word, so, so great, so great. Same two-letter word that's used in John 3:16, for God so loved the world. How much did he love the world? I don't know how to describe it to you. I've tried for these past 25 years to describe how much God loves you, and I've just scraped the surface. How great is God's love? It's so great that we can't put it into words. And God will save you this morning with that so great salvation. But here's my point. My fifth point, and I got one more, and I'll be done. But my fifth point is this. If we're going to thank God in the way that we should, there are times in our life that we ought to get so excited and so caught up in the so great salvation that we have, that with a loud voice, with all our being, with all our heart, with all our mind, with all our soul, we say with a loud voice, thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving me. Thank you for saving me, a sinner headed toward hell with no hope, who is just going to live the rest of his life apart from you and die and go to hell. But you had mercy on me. And you went to the cross, and on the cross, you took all my sins and you paid for my sins. And now I have a home in heaven. I'm free from all the penalty of my sin. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And then he did one more thing. One more thing. I want you to notice what he did the last part. The Bible says, with a loud voice, he praised God and thanked Jesus for healing him. And then the Bible says that he fell on his face before Jesus. He bowed in a prostrate position and put his face on the ground. And what he was saying as he did that, he was saying, dear Jesus, you've healed me from my leprosy. You've done something for me that no man could do. You've changed my life. You've changed my life. My life was a wreck and ruin before what you did for me, before you did it. I had no hope in my life. There was no joy in my life. There was no purpose in my life. I was just waiting until my time came to die, and then I was going to die, and it was going to be all over. But you changed all that. And so he put his face on the ground, and he said, Lord Jesus, I am yours. I am yours. I have no will. I have no will left. Because my life belongs to you now. You purchased it. And you've given me meaning, and you've given me purpose, and you've given me hope. I'm yours. I'm yours. And if we're going to thank God the way that we should thank God, we need to do those same things. We need to see him as God. We need to reverence him as God. We need to respond to him as God. All 10 of them did that. But the Samaritan, he noticed what Jesus did. He praised him in a loud voice. Hey, you know, if the world wants to call us weird because we get excited about what God has done for us, just let them go ahead and call you weird. You'll be in good company. They thought the disciples were weird. Don't worry about what people think when it comes to you praising God. If you feel like shouting, shout. If you feel like singing, sing. If you feel like lifting your hands and saying, praise God, lift your hands and say, praise God. And then if we're going to thank him, we need to fall on our face before him and say, I'm yours. I'm yours. You bought me. I belong to you. Let's pray together. Father, help us to be thankful in that way. Help us to know that you are God. And that, Father, you offer to every single person the payment for sin. And I pray if there's just one person here this morning that's never asked Jesus to be their Savior, I pray you'll help them to see that they're a sinner. And the penalty of sin is death, separation from you. But the gift of God, the gift that you offer to every single person, and Father, you're able to offer that gift because of what Jesus did on Calvary's cross. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And so I pray, Father, if there's just one person here that's never asked Jesus to be their Savior, then in just a second when we stand to sing, they'll get up out of their seat, they'll walk the aisle, and they'll let us take the Bible and show them from the Bible how to ask Jesus to be their Savior. Father, speak to the many Christians that are here. Help us to never take for granted the so great salvation that you've wrought in our life. Help us to always be thankful for what you've done. Just bless this time of invitation, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.